Dentistry is changing. Technology, education, and resources are closer to our fingertips now more than ever. Are you ready to learn what millennial dentists are doing to exceed patient expectations, enjoy dentistry more, and take more vacations? Or how this generation can join up with the previous ones to make for an unstoppable dental team? Well, wait no longer. Here are your hosts of The Millennial Dentist, Dr. Holsinger, Dr. Payray, and Dr. Sully Sullivan.
We're going live.
We're going live. Millennial Dentist Podcast, episode 20-ish.
I'm pretty pumped about this tonight. My boy Hutan from Hotlanta.
Hutan.
Hutan Shahidi?
That's correct.
Hutan. How do you spell Hutan?
H-O-O-T-A-N.
That's awesome.
Dude, Hutan, what do you do?
I am the owner of a medical billing company for dentists and dental specialists. And that's strictly what we do. We don't do any dental billing. And we don't work with any other aspects of healthcare, solely helping you dentists and dental specialists out getting reimbursement from things that typically you probably wouldn't get from dental.
So let me share a little bit about how I got into this.
Yeah.
So I had heard about billing medical, I guess a year or two ago at either a 3D summit that Serona did or at Sierra World, one of the two. It was pretty interesting. And then once we got into treating sleep apnea, which we obviously talked a lot about, and there's been lots of questions about that have arisen, we kind of realized that for medical billing, sleep apnea is somewhat of a low-hanging fruit. Right, Hutan?
It is. It's one of the easier claims, more successful.
So I was like, let's just – and y'all know me. I'm kind of a jump into the deep end of the pool, guys. So I'm like, let's just freaking do it. So, and I knew that I didn't have enough team members to do it in-house.
Yes.
I didn't have the time to do it. And it was putting too much on them. So I was like, let's try out Hutan because we had heard about them and code and we want to do it. Now, fast forward, and then we got paid $5,000 for a sleep appliance about a month ago, which is kind of drawing a lot of buzz
yes.
in some of the groups that we're all in because people are like, holy crap, you got paid $5,000 for a sleep appliance.
That's big if true, man.
So yeah, so that's kind of how we jumped into it.
So how much of it did you do, or how much of it Hutan did for you as far as that sleep appliance for the patient?
By the way, I just really want to give Payment all the credit in the world for saying my name so beautifully.
That's why the first thing I asked you, I said, well, how do you spell it? Because I want to know how people like here spell
Hutan.
Well, no, so I'll try to replicate it. So normally, obviously, when I speak English, you know, it's a slight inflection. So it's you just say Hutan, right? But when Payment says it, he says Hutan. So he has a slight inflection at the end on the T.
Yeah, it's like Paymon, so like, you know, like Paymon and Payment.
Yeah, so normally when I speak English, I would say Payment. But probably if I switched to Farsi, I would say Paymon.
Right.
So slight inflection. So anyway, sorry, brother.
Hutan.
That's what happens. So he was saying like, who that?
Hutan.
So sorry, Payment. What was your question?
My question was as far as okay. So I'm very, very interested in. It's so interesting because Sully gets the best people on the show every week, and I get I get surprised with because that's something I am every week he gets somebody. Next week I'm like Boom Cloud. I'm about to sign out with him. like we talked to him last week. Medical billing is something I've struggled because of the type of practice is like implant dentures, and a lot of these folks need like to eat and they're not eating, and it's affecting their health care. I mean, it's affecting their overall health. And we tried a few things as far as trying fixed or trying overdenture or anything that medical will pay for it. So far, we've not been successful. We're going back and forth, trying to play around the game of just going.
Are you trying to build medical yourself?
Mm-hmm. Well, Jennifer is. I'm not doing. I don't even know how to do any of this stuff. I have no idea.
So, okay. Hutan, will you try? Give us a little bit of what. Give us the whole background on what. Give us your spiel a little bit, and then we're going to ask lots of questions.
So the spiel was, or I guess the story is that, so I was like, I was an office manager in my 20s about 10 years ago, and there were just various one-off cases, you know, impacted third molars, trauma, sleep apnea, stuff like that, you know, I would bill medical, biopsies, stuff like that. So early in my career, I just assumed billing medical is normal. You know, obviously you guys don't, you know, there's not a lot of female office, or excuse me, male office managers in dentistry. So it's not like I had friends to troubleshoot with or ask questions. So I kind of naively, in my own little world, just assume billing medical is part of your skill set as an office manager running a dental office. I honestly thought that. I really didn't know any better because I started my career with one dentist. I was with him for years. I didn't know any better. Then when I kind of got out of that office and I started consulting, I realized it was the opposite, that almost no office manager knows how to bill medical, and the benefits are just sitting there, and the dentist is not able to use them to improve their patient's life, make dentistry more affordable, add value to their own practice. So I thought that might be possibly a good niche to get into. And so far, four plus years later, all's looking well.
Yeah, I would argue that dentists have a hard enough time billing dental insurance correctly,
right?
Alone trying to, that, because I mean, when you graduate, especially, we have no idea. I didn't know what the difference between a PPO and HMO or network was. Maybe I'm just naive, but
no, I think those are the questions you needed to know for boards, though, too. HMO and PPO. That's all I remember, because that's the only thing I remember. And then I got out. Now we even bought the book or the medical codes, because we're trying to back and forth and see what can we use and how do we find a way of attacking and tackling these people, be able to help them in a way that, because they cannot afford it. But if there is a way of getting them compensated, or a way that we could help out these folks, and especially if there's a firm that helps us do it while we're doing our dentistry, then that's fabulous. How does the finance work? Like, do you get paid per patient, per case, or you get paid for the, like, how does it work?
It's per paid claim. And then some of the auxiliary services that kind of surrounding it. So in the case of me and Sully, how we got from beginning to end, obviously the clinical stuff he did. So he screened for the patient. He's the one that got the patient excited about sleep apnea, convinced them to get to a home sleep test. From there, we're the ones that checked the benefits of the medical carrier for him. We did the pre-authorization for him. Once the pre-authorization was approved, then he called the patient, delivered the appliance, and we sent the claim in, and the check arrived to him. So obviously there's a collaboration between practitioner and us. You know, they do the clinical part, we do our benefit check pre-auth claims filing part. And if those three processes go well, which in this case they did, Sully followed every step beautifully, there was no follow-up. The check just arrived at his office. Now, had we messed up some of those steps, which sometimes happens when dental offices try to bill medical themselves, the whole thing will start falling apart. Then you spend a lot of time following up. But if you just do the first three steps right, you'll be fine.
Everything is going to follow.
Well, what I found too, what's nice about it is because, so basically on my end, what I do is, like you said, I'll
screen,
do all that, diagnose, whatever. And then as far as like the clinical part that I'm submitting to them, it's really simple. So it's really simple. Basically, I fill out literally like a soap note. Attach the interpretation from the doctor, and I upload that to them, and like that's it. And like they're doing all the work. And then we've had some that are in, you know, they'll deny them for a certain reason, and then they'll tell us, well, this is a real denial, there's no getting around it, or we need you to fill out this form, this form, this form. So because I don't have, that's the thing, like my team doesn't have the time to,
right,
to do that and to figure it out, and then I'm losing money. But shoot, if I can get five appliances a year to hit, that's $25,000 that was going to be, you know, $10,000. That's $15,000 of profit. Maybe.
And also, I guess with that, the pre-authorization, how long does it take typically to get, like, for example, a patient comes in, we're like, okay, this is what we could do for you, but we got to find out first how much we get paid from, or if we are going to get, how long does it take typically to get that pre-authorization for patients?
So a couple of things. One, so that like your viewer or your listeners, I should say, don't go crazy off of what Sully just said. The $5,000 checks are only from a certain number of carriers. So for example, United Healthcare, Cigna, Aetna, those guys tend to be in the range of $4,000 to $5,000. Blue Cross Blue Shield Tennessee, however, is like $1,000. So there's a huge swing on allowed amounts between Blue Cross Blue Shields versus the Aetna Signos of the world. So a more realistic composite blend between the low pairs and the high pairs probably honestly is about $3,000. So maybe if you're trying to hit like the $25,000 mark, like Sully was saying, it's probably realistically going to be more around 8 appliances, 9 appliances. That would probably be more realistic. Now, to Paymon's question about the pre-authorizations, depends on what you're asking for and who the carrier is. But typically speaking, with sleep apnea, 5 to 10 business days.
5 to 10 business days.
And you're getting, and we're getting eligibility checks, really, which is going to tell us, you know, are they covered for it? What's their deductible? What's their copay? Is it even a realistic option to bill it within, with at most 48 hours, usually. So usually that can be done the same day or even 24 hours. But so that's a really nice thing. So in our workflow with sleep apnea, it's great because when they take home the sleep study, we've already got their medical insurance card. We've already checked them to see by the time they come back whether they're either going to be eligible to bill medical or not, or whether it's going to benefit them or not. So it's really nice from that standpoint. So my question is, and obviously I'm going to use this as free time to ask questions, is, and so like for Paymon example, when you're starting to look at the do you like how I did that?
Yeah,
I loved it.
I'm going to start doing that.
That was good.
Something I noticed it too.
I tried
man.
To sneak that in there, but then I lost it. I couldn't. I'm excited.
Say, wait, Sully. Before you go any further, have you eaten at his family's house yet?
No, he hasn't. He hasn't had the
Come
the.
On, bro.
We will. We will. Nice. I know. I know. I know.
So Sully, just a tip. You know, if you've never done it. I would recommend maybe like not eating that day, and then try to eat like 2 or 3 plates if you can. Then that way his parents will like you more next time you'll be invited back.
Yeah. Don't go there, not eat. You know what's funny? Hutan, my mom just got back from Iran from a two-week trip that she was there. So she brought all these lavashak and gaz and like sohan and all these goodies. Like you cannot find these stuff here. Yeah, so like...
So that you guys know, lavashak is like Persian fruit roll-ups. You remember fruit roll-ups from when we were kids?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's like that.
And it's like homemade, which is like even better. But there's so many good stuff. So like right now, I cannot wait to go home and eat those like pistachios. They're like sohan. There's so many good things.
We have
like
pistachios.
She brought 6 luggages. She paid like 3 luggage more just for the food and all the good stuff. Like I'm like, I can't wait to go eat.
I always wonder what's in those suitcases. When people bring it back, like 6 bags from 4 countries.
It's food.
What are they bringing?
I mean, food and carpet. It's funny. There's carpet too. She brought 2 carpets. And I'm like, oh, it's fun though. This, you know those tableau fash where you put it, hang it on the wall?
Oh, yeah. I know Charmin.
They're nice.
That's a hanging carpet. God, what is it in English? Right? Like a hanging carpet, basically.
Yeah, you know, yeah. And there are a couple of them that are just so nice. Miniature silk. And I can't wait to put them up here. It'd be nice.
So sorry for hearing you, Sully. What were we going to say? You're going
to
ask me something.
So my question is, okay, so we know sleep is something to build. What are other common medical build procedures that people can take advantage of that aren't taking advantage of?
Honestly, the most common thing by far and away, the single most highest submitted code per day is CoMBU. We probably as a company, I'll try to think of like maybe today was a pretty average day. Like we probably submit 400 or 500 CoMBU scans a day.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I mean, that's across a number of different carriers or a number of different providers in a number of different states. So you just think about it, you know, hundreds of clients in different states, each one does, let's say 1 or 2, 3 a day that are PPO plans. It adds up. That's by far and away the most common. Oral surgery, extractions, bone grafts, membranes, implants. We do a ton of that. Biopsies, those kinds of things. We don't do as much perio surgery as maybe I would like. I wish we did more osseous surgery or more gingivectomies. And then exams. Exams is a really high up one too. You know, I know dental insurance covers 2 exams, but think about all the instances where a patient comes in a 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th time on the year. Sleep apnea patients, you could easily end up seeing them 10 times a year. You might see them 2, 3 times to get them, you know, give them consults on getting the appliance. Then after the appliance, you might have 4 or 5 follow-up visits. I mean, these things all add up. And one of the big problems with dentistry, and it certainly was there before I got there, you guys are younger than me, is just this, and I always talk about it, just this strange, bizarre mentality of somehow the patient or maybe even us as an industry believes our time is free. Try seeing your attorney for free. Try seeing your accountant for free. Try anybody, you know, try, for example, seeing your attorney for the eighth time, being like, hey, you know, I paid the other seven times. Can you just waive this eighth one? It would be insane. You know, you don't ever get a haircut for free. I mean, you should think about all the industries you don't do for free, yet for some reason in dentistry, something as basic as an exam, your time, which is probably the most valuable thing, right? Because if a patient takes 30 minutes of your time, you guys could have done $1,000 crown. That's insane to not get paid for that. And I know a lot of that is because dental insurance only pays two exams a year. Well, medical might be a different opportunity, a different way of billing for you to actually maximize your time.
Wow.
So you said the top, pretty much the number one code right now is the cone beam that a lot of people like. So for example, if you're a PPO provider right here at this office, now that's dental. With the medical world, am I a provider or am I signed up with any of the medical? Like, how does that work?
In Tennessee, you probably are not. It doesn't reciprocate. But for example, a gentleman that I teach with that Sully knows too, Dr. Tarun Agarwal, he, for example, is in a state where when you're in network with the Blue Cross Blue Shield dental, it automatically reciprocates onto the medical. So that's true in North Carolina. It's true in Illinois. It's true in Oklahoma and Kansas. And so obviously the people who are in those states that are in network, believe it or not, in a strange way, actually highly benefit. So while they may not really like their fee schedule, for example, on the dental side, on the medical side, they're getting paid for cone beam. You know, imagine 20, 25, 30 times a month, you're getting a $200-$300 check for a 14-second scan. So in those states, it's like truly a no-brainer. Really a no-brainer.
Our state? Like, what can I do right now to be able to, for example, if I contact you about a patient who has whatever insurance, and then you'd be like, well, you're not a provider. What do I need to do in order to be able to qualify for some of these folks?
Nothing you need to do. Essentially, the plan already dictates how policy is going to be adjudicated. So PPO plans have out-of-network benefits. So therefore, if you're an out-of-network provider, you can bill it. Point-of-service plans also have out-of-network benefits sometimes. Those would also be billable by you. So the plan kind of already dictates how and when it's going to pay. So then from there, you just need to file the claim. And filing the claim, from a basic standpoint, takes two codes. One is called a procedure code, for example, cone beam. And then the other code is what's called the diagnosis code, for example, abscess. Cone beam's your procedure, abscess is your diagnosis, and in basic terms, you send that claim in. If there's benefits for radiology and abscesses, then they're going to basically process the claim. Either it'll go towards the deductible or there's a check on the way to you.
So one thing that I'm trying to get wrapped around and I need to do the more of this is I think one of the best parts about it is it can save their dental benefits because what happens is, you know, if a patient walks in today, like I had a patient today walk in, you know, she needs an implant, two crowns, two fillings, mm-hmm. and, you know, and so it's okay, well, what's my insurance going to pay? Well, they're going to pay $1,000, and we just wasted, you know, $200 of it on the cone beam.
The cone beam.
Or $180 on it because we're going to bill out the pan, you know, whatever, and then we're going to bill out bite wings and then the exam, and she's got all the things he's saying. So it's kind of like I'm going, well, shoot, why don't I bill that to medical there? Because that really is truly a win-win because if I'm getting paid more, they're saving their benefits what they need, then it really is kind of a win-win. Plus, it's like what you said earlier, it's really getting paid for things we're not getting paid for, but we're already doing. So, you know, my big goal right now, and I talked to my like team about it today at lunch. You'd be proud of us, Sutan. We had a meeting, and I had them all write down. They're writing down their goals and kind of what their goals are professionally for, kind of themselves and like what they'd like to accomplish professionally, and then goals for our practice and how we want to get there. And I told them, I said, one of my ultimate professional goals is I want to make the same amount of money, but I want to work less. And you know, one of the ways we do that is by is, I'm just thinking, if we could add, yeah, I don't know, 50 grand in medical codes, y'all are all like
Instagramming or something.
No. I'm going to have millennial podcast Instagram.
Then we can, think about how much less work I have to do.
It's maximizing your time and everything too.
What about pedo?
You're not going to believe it. I'm actually surprised why we don't have more pedo, for one very simple reason. Medical insurance covers trauma. Almost all plans do, right? You would not believe how often 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8-year-olds fall. It's astonishing.
Oh, yeah, so every day.
I'm actually really surprised why we don't have more PEDS. The few PEDS we have, though, I mean, we routinely take care of the basketball, playground, football stuff. Routine. I mean, like, very normal to do obviously no big deal, right? Maybe a pulpotomy or, you know, you pull and extract a baby tooth or something like that. Thank God. I've never done a crazy bad case, but just basically on that level, I mean, it adds up, and that's a lot of trauma. So you're talking about, you know, you're saying preserve dental benefits. Well, you could take the whole thing through their medical. You might not even need their dental.
Yeah, like this is an example. Like last weekend, 3-year-old falls, breaks a front tooth. I have to go in the office after hours. Like, what could you bill for that?
Tell me what you did. So you went in after hours. There's an exam. What radiography did you do?
PA, periapical.
Okay, so the PA is billable. Oh, actually, you know what? Sorry, let me just make it easy for you. I'll still go through it with you, but when it comes to trauma, I should have mentioned that earlier, every single code is billable.
Wow, okay. That's
whatever you have to do to get the patient back to as close to pre-trauma. So whether that's a root canal, extraction, bridge, crown, implant, abutment, they cover the whole thing beginning to end of that damaged area.
Okay. What if it's a trauma from a time, like, so today I did a comey on a guy, number 9's abscess from where he got hit 6 months ago and chipped his tooth. And so it's just now showing up. Can we still bill that back as trauma?
Yeah, typically most medical carriers allow the client, if you will, your patient, 1 year is the statute of limitations to report the trauma. Now, they might have reported it at an urgent care or a hospital, so you don't necessarily have to worry, and you said this is 6 months ago. So, yeah, you're good. The only thing I would say, Sully, is I would be worried about is for a timely filing on the claim itself, Cigna only allows 6 months in reverse. So if this patient, this was 6 months ago, you need to start filing ASAP, like tomorrow morning.
Perfect. I'm gonna go see. Well, this is just motivating for me, because it's like I've you know, for me it was jumping in, it was getting in the, I just trying to do something. I was like, I want to do something, and I want to get paid for it, and I want to make it work, and that was, and that's sleep. And now I'm like, well, shoot, and now I've literally hired a person to kind of do sleep and just do this, and so I'm kind of like, man, this is just the tip of the iceberg for me. Okay, but keep walking through your scenario, because I like that
trauma.
So they broke the tooth.
You got your exam, you got some PAs. What else?
And then after that, decide we had to extract the tooth.
Would all be covered. Straightforward. Pretty straightforward case, too.
Okay, now I want you to do the same thing, Paimon, because I want to because this is more. This is interesting from a standpoint of what you'd like to do.
Yeah, well, it gets complicated for us, the implant, because sometimes it's going to be, for example, patients come in, if they have, say, 3-4 teeth, they're not able to eat, they already have a medical doctor telling them that you need something to do with your teeth. Like, I had a patient that, his medical doctor told him, you got to go get some teeth, either dentures or something, because you got to eat, because he's just soft diet all for the past 30 years. So there are a lot of patients that we just have to sit down in a consult room, and I'm talking to them, and I'm seeing, how in the world is it that medical is not going to support and cover this, because everything that the patient is talking about is affecting his medical body and overall health, instead of just even just the mouth. So do you guys do any sort of like a consultation, for example, for this patient? How do I know, like, if I wanted to ask about a case or two or however, like, do I get billed for that, or how do you guys manage the way?
We're happy to like talk to you and walk you through like a couple cases and explain it. Regardless though of whether you were a client or not, a couple things about medical pre-auths. Medical pre-auths don't ever discuss finances. So even if you were in network, the pre-auth, and Sully might have already seen a couple, literally is like a one-page letter and just says, you know, we think what you're going to do is medically necessary. Here's your approval number. So they don't ever really talk money. So I'm always like hesitant to have clients get excited about bringing medical billing into the treatment plan, aside from sleep, because sleep is a little bit more predictable. When it comes to implants and surgery, there's just too much variability. There's no guarantee. If God forbid you do 10, 15 grand worth of surgery and you're banking on that medical claim and it falls apart, obviously it's a disaster. So for those kinds of things, I recommend, hey, keep doing what you're doing. Treatment plan how you like you've been planning. Make sure you got the patient committed to paying the way you normally do. Then maybe after the fact, let them know you're going to build their medical and help them out. So imagine, let's say you do 4, 5, 6 implants. Charge a patient 10 grand, okay? You now, after the fact, you've taken your 10 grand. You now, after the fact, bill it to medical. If it denies, you lowered their out-of-pocket maximum. If it goes to their deductible, you've already collected up front, so that's great. If the claim pays, now when the check arrives to you or to the patient, it's a lot easier for you to sell the restorations because you return the patient's expendable income back to them. So if it was hard for them to pay the 10 grand, for example, and now you've got them back the 10 grand, you just made it more possible for you to literally sell the restorations. They're like, hey, you know what? For the $10,000 worth of work, your medical paid 6. Do you want us to keep it here as a credit towards your future treatment? Sure. Done.
With any of these cases, do you have any experience with or any records of patients doing or medical billing with all-on-4, all-on-6 implants, either fixed or removable fixed hybrid dentures or removable? Yeah,
we do those pretty often. The restorative part is not covered.
Uh-huh.
Medical generally outside of trauma doesn't cover restorative. Have we once in a while gotten the fixed hybrid covered? Sure. But for the most part, it's surgical what they cover. So any grafting membranes and the implant themselves. And just yesterday, actually, a client, we won't say names, but Sully knows them. He just got a check for all-on-4. So we do that pretty often.
Well, that's good.
And then those reimbursements, I imagine, too, though, are usually higher than what we're billing out anyways from a dental standpoint, right?
No, well, your billing amount is your billing amount, but you mean what they pay, yeah. A lot amount, typically, for the most part, is higher on the medical side. That's true.
And how do you get paid? For example,
It's 8% of what gets paid. So, for example, that case that I'm telling you that I'm thinking about, the doctor got $9,600 for 4 implants. So we'll now invoice that doctor for 8% of that $9,600. Wow.
They're pretty timely on that. They're like, hey, here's your invoice.
Sorry, Sally, I can't hear you. What's that?
I said they're pretty timely on that. They said, okay. Oh, you got paid, by the way.
I don't do that. I'm actually happy to hear that. I didn't.
Yeah. Like, oh, that's good. Getting paid.
Yeah. Whoever's doing that is going to get a raise, he says.
No, it is. What? And the part I do like about that is because, I mean, we probably do, I don't know, 4 or 5 eligibility checks a day.
Mm-hmm.
And we may submit for pre-auth out of that, 1 or 2. And then we may file claims out of that, in a week if we do 25 and 5 or something. But so that is a nice part. It's like I'm not losing anything by using them. That's one reason.
I mean, it's no brainer. 8% sounds very fair to me after doing all of the. Now, as far as, can you go over a little bit about what exactly you guys do? Like, how many people do you have? What's the staff look like? Who we talk to and some of that stuff as far as how do you run the business?
For the most part, we kind of communicate through, not obviously through email because of the HIPAA thing, but you basically post on a message on our server. That server will then send us just an email link letting us know there's a message there. And same thing when we respond back, you guys just get an email, has a link kind of taking you back to that conversation. For the most part, savvy offices like Sully, 95 to 99% of communication will probably be online. There are other offices that aren't so online savvy, so they're welcome to call. We have an office in Atlanta and one in LA. It's how we manage the time zones, because I think we have clients in 44 or 45 states, we're just shy of 20 people. So it could be anyone. Everyone's pretty well trained. Some are obviously more advanced than others. Some do more specific tasks than others. But I think the one thing I give myself, I pound myself a lot for a lot of stuff I do wrong. But one thing I think I did pretty well is everybody's pretty familiar with all aspects of the company. So like if somebody, for example, does pre-auth 8 hours a day, it doesn't mean they're totally clueless from a benefit check or a claim. If somebody does claims all day, it doesn't mean they're totally clueless from the benefit check. So I think, you know, everybody's able to help, and I want to believe that they're nice guys. That's what I hear a lot. And
Rebecca and Manny are my people. They're killing it over there.
Yeah, Rebecca and Manny are like superstars. Manny. So they're like this Manny. Yeah, they're the starting five. You know.
Yeah.
They're like
Manny is always on like money.
I'm like, oh yeah, we're getting it done now.
That's good.
No, it's been good. So and just to even, you know, I'll touch on that too a little bit from my standpoint. It's nice. So literally what Aubrey does, because Aubrey, she does all this for me now. I don't actually do any of it. I will approve the soap notes. I don't know if I'm just saying they're not, but that's, I don't even really write them half the time. They'll write them and I kind of approve them. They have a lot of those templates on there, which is nice. So that for whatever procedure we want to do, be it like a sinus lift to a sequence to an emergency exam, they have some sort of template to follow. And then lots of step-by-step directions. So we'll do an eligibility check. We'll see if it's even covered, and then we'll file pre-auth. How many procedures require pre-auths? That was a question I was curious about. Do most all procedures?
Probably the majority of them, quote-unquote, require it. With sleep apnea, it's really a must because you could easily get denied and not be able to appeal. Or you could get what's called a pre-certification penalty, which means they'll literally remove $500 to $1,000 out of your check. For example, Cigna, had you not pre-authorized that appliance, that would happen to you. Instead of getting $5,000, you would have gotten $4,000.
That's crazy.
So you don't want to mess
this around. Is literally like just asking permission. That's basically what it is, right?
Literally. That's a pretty good way of summing it up. So with sleep, you want to do it, but I mean, most people who have been with us know if you don't do it for surgery, it honestly doesn't really make that big of a difference in your life. And for cone beam, it's required probably 50-60% of the time. So if you can fit it into your workflow and do it, it's great to do it all the time. So like, for example, Tarun, he has Melissa at his office. She pre-authorizes all of them the night before. Some of our clients are that good at the workflow. Some of our clients have gotten smart and realized that the pre-auth online for a cone beam only takes 30 seconds. So they do it themselves and then they just give us the approval number. Because it's really that, it's literally, I'm not trying to be funny, it's literally.
Bro, what happened?
I don't know, man.
Now I'm going to have to edit this. Motherfricker.
Yeah, but that's what you do, bro. You're a millennial. Millennials edit shit.
No, I'm a true millennial. I pay someone to edit my shit.
He's a true millennial.
By the way, sorry, man. Is a little bit of profanity okay on the podcast?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sure. Yeah, I would say we got.
I think it's required every once in a while.
But no, this is something definitely I'll be considering. I'm going to call you now. Do you have any other fees
so,
man, or anything?
Asking them, so the full payment structure is it's a one-time setup fee, right?
One-time setup fee, $1,000. And then after that, there'll be a yearly renewal for $400. That $1,000, besides going to us credentialing you and all that sort of stuff, as Sully mentioned, we do your benefit checks and pre-auths at no charge. So whether you do 5 a day like him or you do 50 a day, there's no charge. So that's what that $1,000 goes to. And then if your claim does pay, it'll be 8% of the net. Then in addition to that, myself and Dr. Agarwal, that Sully knows. We also do two-day courses, and some people like to come to our two-day course and start medical billing. And believe it or not, 30-40% of the time, existing clients of ours actually come to the two-day medical billing course because they're like, well, okay, if I'm already kind of goofing off right now and I'm making $5,000 to $10,000 a month in medical billing, I wonder what I would make if I actually sharpened it up.
No, I totally get that. And that's kind of where I've gotten to is I'm kind of like, well, shoot, you know, and I was kind of like, I was waiting for that one to hit, you know, waiting for come on, hit, something hit. And that did. Now I'm like,
how much
the whole team was kind of on board. They were like, well, shoot.
How much would it cost to just get one of your employees and just.
So
I did the math. Just hire them here.
The problem is this. It's okay. You say, well, what do you got to pay an employee to do that
right.
for the year? I'm asking you.
Oh, I would say if I paid somebody, I don't know, 10, 15 grand a year.
Okay. So you're going to have to pay more than that. Are they going to be part-time or just coming?
Part-time.
I think that's going to be hard to find.
20 grand?
Someone who knows what they're doing, you're going to pay
them. Oh, somebody who knows? I thought somebody I train and everything.
So,
how would you train them?
I'll go to the class.
Okay, this is why I do the math. So
go to that class.
Let's just say you're going to hire a full-time employee that's like a front type person, what, 35, 40 grand a year? Does that seem reasonable?
Yeah.
Oh, is that still too less?
No, I mean, I would do it like this. Like a reasonable person would be like, I don't know what, 30 to 40 grand a
That's
year?
What I just said.
Oh, sorry. I didn't hear. I honestly didn't hear you. no, seriously.
Okay, so 30. So let's round up. Let's say 40 grand. So 40 grand.
So yeah, I mean, 8% of what number is 40 grand, right?
You took the math out of my head. How do we do that? How do we go backwards? We divide. 40,000 divided by 0.08 is $500,000.
Which is really hard to do.
So to justify paying someone mm-hmm. 40 grand to make it more beneficial,
you have to
you got to do $500,000 of medical billing. So that just answered your question right there. And frankly, why I should answer really everybody's question. To me, using a third party is a no-brainer in this
situation. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I think this is great.
Plus, you know how easy it is for me to manage him? Like he does not my office. He doesn't whine to me. He doesn't ask for a raise. He doesn't ask for
that's good
insurance. He doesn't. It's one less personality in the office. So like, I think there's a huge. I mean, last thing you want. I mean, we're getting that. You're realizing how hard it is.
No, I mean, I already know. I was thinking of if instead of paying $1,000, can I give you some gourmet sabzi every month? I'll send some new gourmet sabzi every. to your office, some fresh gourmet sabzi from Iran. So that way, I think that's worth more than $1,000.
Paymar, you're not going to believe this, but even though I was born and raised here, I actually make that dish very well.
Really?
Oh.
No, I mean, that's good. I
know what I'm asking for when I come to Atlanta.
There are some good restaurants in Atlanta. Rumi is my favorite when I come.
It's fantastic. Rumi's is a great restaurant.
Yeah, Rumi's really great. I take my folks every time my friends when I come to Atlanta, I'll take them there. But no, man, this has been fun. I love this. I'm going to definitely call you up and sign up either probably next week because I need to get the medical billing on point. I got to start.
Are you all three of you are in Tennessee, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
So maybe here's one thing I would recommend, not only for you, Paymon, but for just generally whoever is listening. So. One of the things that can make or break you in medical is something that's actually not even in your control, and that's going to be your demographics. So if, for example, by coincidence, on the medical side, 90% of your patients have a PPO, you're really going to like medical billing. Like you're going to be a really happy person. On the flip side, if let's say 90% of your patients have an HMO plan and you didn't know that and you signed up, you're probably going to be real pissed off and you're going to like probably hate me to some extent. So what I always recommend to people is before you even maybe really do anything is, first of all, it's a good idea to practice this from your team standpoint, is start just collecting every single medical card for maybe like a week or 2 weeks. Scan them. Throw all of them into one folder, all the cards, scan a front and back copy, then go through it. If you see you're a bunch of Medicare and HMOs, this may not be the best thing for you. But on the flip side, if you see you have a lot of PPOs or a pretty good mix of PPOs, then you probably shouldn't hesitate. I mean, you should immediately get on it, especially younger cats like you guys. You guys have a lot of bills, a lot of student loans, stuff like that. All the little bit helps, you know?
Yeah, but if you have most of your patients that are dental PPOs, would you say that their medical is going to be more than likely PPOs or don't matter?
There's not necessarily any connection.
All right.
I freaking love it. Okay, so when's your next course?
Uh, Well, hopefully I'll see all you guys at Cereal World. Are you guys coming to Cereal World?
I will be there. Sully? We'll talk about it. Heyman's going to be there.
I'm going to be at the Kois, doing my Kois track 1 and 2. And I'd love to come, but I actually, it's funny because I saw your name popping on the Cereal World, all the promotion stuff. I was like, oh, he's Persian. That's awesome. But no, I'm going to have to miss it this time. But looking forward to meeting you, man. Come hang out in Atlanta, maybe party, do a Persian style dancing stuff.
It's okay to go to Las Vegas outside of Christmas.
That's true. That's true, because all the Persians have parties in Vegas.
You know, are Muslim or they're Jewish, so they don't celebrate Christmas. As a result, all the biggest Persian concerts are in Las Vegas, December 24th and 25th. So that's why that joke. So anytime you go to Vegas on Christmas Day, it looks like the Middle East.
Yeah, it is. Do you know Shahram Pirali in Atlanta, the guy who throws concerts? All the entertainment and stuff. Okay.
He's a great person. I don't.
Yeah, he's one of my boys.
So aside from Cereal World, guys, which I'll be speaking there Saturday on medical billing for sleep apnea and TMD. Aside from that, late September, Dr. Agarwal and I are doing a 2-day course in Oklahoma City. The next week after that, which is the first Thursday, Friday of October, we're going to be in Chicago. And then the first Thursday, Friday of November will be in Idaho. And that'll be it for – oh, and then, sorry, in between there in late October, we have our 2-day over at Tarun's facility, 3D Dentist in Raleigh, North Carolina. Fantastic place. So we got 4 more coming up. So
dude, that's awesome.
And you're going to be
City,
in –
Chicago, Raleigh, Idaho.
You're going to be in Nashville and Memphis with me doing some dinners.
And that is, I believe, November 30th. We're going to do a dinner. And then I think we're going to do a morning session Friday, December 1st. So it's Sully, Sullivan, and I. So that's not a full 2-day course, but it'll probably be I imagine what it'll be, Sully, is going to be about 3 hours. You'll probably cover an hour and a half of, you know, cone beam, sleep apnea, stuff like that in your practice. I'll do an hour and a half for medical billing. That'll probably be Thursday night, which we haven't settled it yet. But I think, what did we say? We'll do Thursday night, Memphis, Friday morning, Nashville. So November 30th, December 1st. Look for our tag team combo.
All right, brother. Thank you so much for...
Thanks, man.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it.
Thank you for the work.
Yes.
Appreciate it.
That's awesome. Thank you.
Take it easy, buddy.
Thank you for listening to The Millennial Dentist. Visit us online at millennialdentist.com.